Do take a seat. And we're going to read from God's word together now. So if you have a Bible or you have a tablet or a phone or some kind of device with the Bible on it, let's turn together to Luke chapter 1. Mimi, I might need you to flick through my slides for me as I can't see behind me. Thank you. So Luke chapter 1 and then verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And we give thanks for the reading of God's word this morning. Well, during Advent, we are reminding ourselves of that famous prayer that Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, which says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, it might seem odd to reflect on something that Jesus taught well after his birth during the season like Advent and Christmas. But actually, his birth is a realization of this prayer. Jesus came from the glory of heaven to bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And we read in the Bible about a baby boy who brought life and light for all humankind. Endless stories about his bringing healing and hope to people and places, which are all, of course, a foretaste of what is to come in the fullness of God's kingdom. What's interesting is that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But he also said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus here is indicating God's desire, God's intention to bring his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven through his people. In Christian circles, we call this worship. Now, the English Oxford Dictionary defines worship as the great admiration or devotion shown towards a person or principle. I'm sure you'll agree with me that it's true to say we know what it means to worship. Whether we are Christians, whether we are of another faith, whether we are atheists, we would know what it means to worship. We worship celebrities. We worship sports stars. We worship social status, fame, and fortune. We even worship one another. Liking and loving on social media forums like Facebook. And let's face it, it can be incredibly unhealthy. If we were to consider who it is or what it is we worship, perhaps the answer to that question would be striking. and would be unhealthy for us. I like what the Canadian-born actor Jim Carrey has said about modern worship. He said, "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. The answer is not to be found in fame and fortune, worshipping material possessions, worshipping people and ideas and principles. I believe that we are born to worship. But we're born not to worship material possessions. And frankly, those people and principles that are not deserving of our worship. But rather, we are born to worship the one who created us. Worship our Father God. Worship the Almighty God who created heaven and earth." The New Testament writer Paul puts it like this: I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Why would we worship God? Why would we worship this Jesus that we celebrate every Christmas? Why is he so deserving of our praise? Why is he so deserving of, what did the English dictionary say, great admiration or devotion? Why is God deserving of this worship? Well, he's deserving of our worship because he created us. He is the one who gave us life at the beginning. He is the one who continues to sustain us. We are only alive now because God wills it. And he could take it away in an instant. But he is deserving of our praise because he is our creator. And secondly, he is deserving of our worship because he has given us the gift of Christ. The Bible tells us that we were dead in our transgressions and sins. You'll know the story of Adam and Eve eating the apple in the Garden of Eden, and since that moment, sin has overcome us. We are sinful people. We do things against God all the time that displease God all the time. Even those of us who call ourselves Christians, we sin and we fail God. But he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to live so that we might see an example of how to live. Sent him so that he would die on a cross, so to take all of our sin on himself. He died, but then he rose again, defeating the powers of darkness, death, sin, so that we could be free, so that we could be forgiven, so that we can be in relationship with God, so that we could be made righteous. There's nothing we can do to be called righteous. We are only righteous because Christ died in our place. And in Jesus Christ, we have this prospect of everlasting life, hope beyond the grave. Believe me, when I'm conducting a funeral service, this gospel truth is so meaningful, so powerful. And I thank God every time I conduct a service for the salvation that is possible in Jesus Christ, the hope that we can have beyond the grave. So he's deserving of our worship, right? I'm glad you almost agree. You'll be with me by the end, I'm sure. And he's deserving of our worship and our praise. Because in worshiping him, we can be vessels through which God's kingdom comes on earth as it heavens. And it's an incredible privilege, isn't it, that God would want to use us, people such as me and you, who fail and get things wrong all the time. God wants to use us as vessels through which his kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, to bring his love and his grace, to bring his light, to bring his healing. Doesn't our world need all of these things? Yes, Andrew. I hear you say. And he is so deserving of our praise because he gives us this opportunity, this privilege to be vessels through which his kingdom comes. It's nearly Christmas. And so I want to talk briefly about Mary this morning in relation to this life of worship. And I want to talk about Mary because here in this woman, we have an example of worship and an example of someone who God used to bring his kingdom on earth as in heaven. Scholars make the point that our information about the mother of Jesus is largely confined to the infancy narratives of Matthew and Luke. But we know that she lived in Nazareth. We know that she was engaged or betrothed to a carpenter named Joseph. We know that she was commissioned with, let's be honest, this gigantic task of carrying and giving birth to a son called Jesus. What did the angel say about this son that she was to bear? Let's look again, Luke 1, verses 32 to 33. We read that this Jesus will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High God. He will be given the throne of his father David and reign over the house of Jacob forever. And in Matthew chapter 1, an angel revealed to Joseph that his wife, Mary, would give birth to a son who will save God's people from their sin. And he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Wow. I cast my eyes upon Becky here, who's pregnant. She's carrying a baby. She's not carrying the Son of God, Emmanuel. Can you imagine the task, the responsibility of being told that you are going to bear Emmanuel, God with us? Huge task. It doesn't, from what we can read here in Scripture, there's no real preparation for it. One day, Mary discovers that she's going to give birth. She's a virgin, so that's a surprise in itself. And she's going to give birth to a son named Jesus, who will be called Emmanuel, God with us, God himself. Incredible task. A vessel through which God wanted to bring his kingdom on earth as in heaven. It's no wonder that Mary, as we read, was greatly troubled at the angel's words. And that she asked this question in verse 34, how will this be? It's interesting, she doesn't doubt that it will happen. She wants information. How will this happen? And the angel, of course, tells her that she will be conceived by the Holy Spirit. But what would have been your response in this moment? As the Lord spoke to you or an angel came to you and said, Stephen, this is going to happen. How are you going to respond? Henry, if the Lord spoke to you and said, Henry, this is what I want to do with you. This is how I want to bring my kingdom on earth as in heaven through you. You're wondering who I'm going to pick on next, aren't you? I'll stop there. What would be our response if we were Mary? I don't know about you, but I often will hear God speak to me. And maybe that's an audible kind of question. Maybe it's just a stirring in my heart, but I would sense God speaking to me. And one of those moments when I'd often hear God speak to me actually would be particularly in Canterbury when I see a homeless person. I'm sure this happens to you too. And there have been times when I've gone to get lunch, for example, and walked back to my office with lunch in my hand, and I walk past a homeless person, and God just speaks to me and he says, are you going to eat that lunch? And I'll have this little battle with God. And I have to go back and give the lunch to the homeless person. But God speaks to me, as I'm sure he will speak to you. And when he speaks to us and he asks us to do something, he invites us to be a vessel through which his kingdom comes. What is our response? Do we just ignore him? Do we respond but with a no or a maybe? Or do we say yes? Mary's response here is staggering and an example to us all. For in response to this unbelievable, life-changing and magnificent task, Mary said in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Sounds so easy, doesn't it? Yes, I will bear this Jesus, Son of the Most High. Yes, I will bear Emmanuel, God himself. Of course. What other response would there be? "I am the Lord's servant, so may your word to me be fulfilled." Reminiscent of words, I think, in the Old Testament when the prophet Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me. Here is your willing servant, so use me." One Bible commentator describes this response of Mary as a model of the human response to God's unexpected vocation. So what would have been your response? What is God's response when he speaks to you? In just a few moments' time, we're going to witness Stephen's baptism. And this imitates something of what Mary did here. No, you'll be glad to hear, Doreen, that Stephen will not give birth to a son. But Stephen is going to declare through baptism that he will live his life for God in worship. He's heard the gospel message that Jesus is the Messiah, that Jesus is our Savior, that he is the one in whom we find forgiveness for our sin and everlasting life. Stephen will die to an old way of life as he goes down into the water for as long as we can hold him. And he will rise again to a new way of life with God, proclaiming his willingness, or rather his whole life commitment, to be a vessel through which God's kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I've been reflecting on this, Stephen, and I think this is, it's like a prophetic moment. I don't know if you felt this, but it's a prophetic moment because Stephen works here at the church. He's what's called the hub manager. I'll let you work that out for yourself. But Stephen is going to be, and is currently working in our partnership with local authorities and with the local community. Stephen is engaging with different groups and people that use the building all the time. And we're developing that ministry. We're developing how we might serve the local community here in Canterbury. And there is a sense in me, Stephen, that this is a prophetic moment, that as you are baptized and as we're speaking about worship and Mary being a willing servant through which God's kingdom could come, this is a prophetic moment for you, that this is a moment when God will anoint you with the power of the Holy Spirit, so to be a vessel through which his kingdom comes in this city, through this church, even in Ramsgate. God's kingdom can come. And we want to pray that this is a prophetic moment, that you'll be anointed for that task. And Stephen can be a vessel through which his kingdom comes. We can be a vessel through which God's kingdom comes. This is a world hungry for God's kingdom, for healing and love and grace, light where there's darkness. And God wants to use us to bring those things. And so, question number one, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Saviour? Do you believe that he died so that you can be forgiven, so that you can be in relationship with him, so that you can inherit everlasting life? Do you believe that this baby Jesus we celebrate isn't just another child, but Son of God Most High? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God wants to use you to bring his kingdom? And are you willing to be his servant? Even as he speaks to you now, and he says, I want you to do this for me. I want you to do that for me. I want you to be baptized. What is our answer? My hope is that we will all live for him, that we will all live for his glory, and that through us, his kingdom would come. As we read in Matthew 5, that others would see our good deeds and they would come to praise our Father in heaven. Let's just spend a moment reflecting on these words this morning, and then I'll lead us in prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for the opportunity this morning to look at the example of Mary, given this gigantic task of bearing and delivering and mothering Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We thank you, Lord, for her response. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me be fulfilled. Thank you for her willingness to be a vessel through which your kingdom came in Christ Jesus. Lord, this example is challenging to us all. Even as you speak to us now, Lord God, perhaps you're inviting us to know more about you. Perhaps you're inviting us to give our lives to you. Perhaps you're inviting us to be baptized. Perhaps you're inviting us to go and serve overseas as missionaries. Lord, as we hear your voice, may we respond with similar words as those as Mary. Yes, Lord, here I am, your willing servant. We thank you for the opportunity we have, Lord God, to witness this baptism later. Lord, that will be a moment of celebration. And as we witness this baptism, Lord, would you just continue to move amongst us and to speak into our lives and our hearts for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.